Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the inheritance that is ours because we're sons and daughters of God. This inheritance includes everything we need to live this life and the life to come. Now, most of us are more concerned about the inheritance for this life because we face real problems and we need real help. But this week, we're emphasizing the fact that it's knowledge of your inheritance in the life to come that gives you the confidence and the faith to access the provisions of your inheritance in this life. To appreciate and walk in our inheritance, we have to understand there's more to life than just this life. From the moment you came into existence at conception, you are an eternal being or somebody who's going to live forever. No one ceases to exist at death. And the greater and better part of our existence is in the life to come. You have to learn to live your life from that vantage point. That's called an eternal perspective. To walk in the provision of your inheritance in this life, it's vital that you develop an eternal perspective and live with the consciousness that there's more to life than just this life. Now, we're using as our key passage for this particular part of our discussion something Peter wrote. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he wrote that because of Jesus' resurrection, which is proof that our sins are paid for, we have a living hope and an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. This inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It's reserved for us or kept safe for us in heaven. Peter understood this in terms of something Jesus told him years earlier. When before Jesus went to the cross, Peter asked him, he said, "We've left everything, Lord," meaning him and his disciples, or his fellow disciples, "we've left all to follow you. What will our reward be?" Jesus told them, "You'll receive over and above what you gave up, some in this life, and some in the life to come. In this life, you'll have new relationships with brothers and sisters in the family of God. You'll have provision, such as food, clothing, and shelter, to replace the lands and the provisions you've given up, and to replace the families you've given up. In the life to come, you'll have everlasting life." Now, Peter and the disciples knew from the writings of the prophets that Jesus' reference to the life to come meant more than harps and clouds. It meant a return to this earth when it is made new, the new heavens and the new earth, a return to this earth to be reunited with their bodies to live on this earth again forever. See, based on the prophets and the writings of the prophets, the disciples understood eternal life to mean your body will be raised from the dead so you can live on earth again. All that you've lost will be restored, and this time you'll keep it forever. Death can never rob from you again. Now, in this epistle, 1 Peter, from which we're getting our key text, Peter was actually writing to believers who were experiencing increasing pressure to abandon their faith in Christ. It was going to become full-blown persecution in the not-too-distant future, and Peter's point in writing is to encourage them it's worth it to stay faithful because there is a salvation reserved for us in heaven which is ready to be revealed. And then he drops down in verse 10 and says it's the same salvation which the prophets have been wondering about since the earliest ages of man. We left off pointing out that Peter, in one of his first sermons, Acts chapter 3, verse 21, said Jesus has returned to heaven until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has been promising through the mouth of his prophets since the earliest days of man. When we go back to the beginning, Genesis, and look at what happened as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, and the curse of sin, corruption, and death entered the race, the human race, and the earth itself, God promised the coming of the Redeemer, the seed of the woman. The seed is Jesus, the woman is Mary. The seed will undo the damage done and restore God's original plan to have a family of holy, righteous sons and daughters with whom he can dwell on this earth forever. Earth made new, freed from sin, corruption, and death. That's the salvation that's ready to be revealed in heaven. Now, many Christians struggle with access. Oh, I wanted to make one final point. Peter promised that God will keep us by his power. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 here. God will keep us by his power, which is present provision through our faith, until the completion of the plan of redemption, when we receive our full imperishable inheritance, or the completion of the plan of redemption. Now, many Christians struggle with accessing the provision and power of the unseen kingdom in this life because they lack this eternal perspective and because they misunderstand the nature of life in a fallen world. The fact that we have present power and provision does not mean problem-free living. It does not mean huge salaries at jobs we love, with vacation homes and fancy cars. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But no one has a promise of those things in this life, despite what TV preachers tell us. Now, there are some issues and problems that can be resolved in this life. There are others you just have to deal with as best you can. The Bible helps us know which is which. We'll talk more about that probably next week. But you have to understand the parameters of life in a fallen world. This is a harsh life. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how much faith you have. We live in a fallen world, and trouble comes to all of us. See, when you realize, though, that all loss is temporary, when you realize that unrealized hopes and dreams are only postponed, and when you are aware that nothing can come against you in this life that's bigger than God, it relieves pressure, it quells fear, and it gives you peace and hope, which lifts you up as you face life's difficulties. It gives you the hope that, yeah, I know I've lost some things now, but I'll get them back in the life to come. And what I wasn't able to do in this life because of the circumstances of life, I'll get to do in the life to come. Now, those are whole lessons for another day. I mean, we can do whole lessons on that. But let me share with you something that Paul wrote to slaves who had become Christians. I'm over in, I don't know if you know it or not, but the Roman Empire had all kinds of slaves. It's estimated that there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was huge. They'd conquer lands and then they'd make slaves of many of the people. But so Paul, slaves came to faith in Christ, and he had to address them and their issues as well. Let me read. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 22. Servants, now that word is slaves in the Greek. He's writing to slaves. Slaves, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you shall do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that do... let me stop there in the interest of time. Many Christians struggle, like I say, with accessing the power and provision of the unseen kingdom because they misunderstand the nature of life in a fallen world. Here's Paul speaking to slaves. Notice, he did not say, believe for a better job, believe for a promotion, get promoted from shoveling horse manure to shoveling chicken manure, or whatever. I'm being facetious here, but my point is, so much of the contemporary preaching makes it sound like God's whole purpose is to make this life the highlight of your existence. No, Paul didn't do anything like that. He urged them to work as though they were reserving, I'm sorry, let me start over. He urged them to work as though they were serving the Lord. And he reminded them that they have an inheritance, a future in the life to come, where all will be made right. Let me reread verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. What inheritance? The same inheritance Peter was writing about. Remember, these guys were all writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You have an inheritance in the life to come where all will be made right. I know things aren't right now. I totally understand that, Paul was saying. But this perspective will make it easier for you to deal with the hardships of your life. Work knowing that you serve the Lord. He'll reward you. And everything you've lost because of the harsh realities of life in a fallen world will be restored to you. It's worth it to stay faithful to the Lord, because this life is not all there is to the story. Now, Paul wrote to a group of Jewish believers who were experiencing increasing pressure to reject Jesus from Jews who didn't believe in him. And the whole purpose of the letter was to encourage them to stay faithful to Jesus no matter what happened, because it's worth it in the end. Let me just read. I'm over in chapter 10. Let me start in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in the which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. That's King James language, but he's saying, remember, when you came to the Lord, you had to endure a lot right then, a lot of inflictions. Let me keep reading. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, part of the trouble came from being made fun of and being reproached and afflicted. It goes on to say, and partly while you became a companion of them that were so used, part of your problem came from helping people like me, who were being hounded by the authorities. Let me keep reading. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. Now, we'll talk about this in more detail tomorrow, but here's the point for now. Paul's encouraging these people to stay faithful. Life was getting hard for them, and it was going to get harder as they experienced persecution for their faith. They had already experienced some. They had lost material goods. But he reminded them, you took it because you know you've got a better substance waiting for you in heaven, one that can't be taken away from you. What you've lost will be replaced. My point is that many of us struggle accessing present provision because we've been misinformed. We've been told that this life is the highlight of our existence, and Jesus died to give us an abundant life. No, he died to give us eternal life abundantly, because eternal life is the life to come that can't be taken away from us. All that we possess in that life will keep forever, unlike this life, where even if you have a great life, old age and death take it away because of the curse of sin and corruption that's in the earth. You got to have the right perspective. More tomorrow. We'll pick it up here. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.